also get the Bible on your phone or share it with your neighbor.
It's good to see you, sir. Everybody's good. Mostly awake. I want to speak with you this morning about living your best life, even in the storms of life. There's living life, and then there's living your best life where you are. I recognize that following Christ does not eliminate the storms of life. Life has storms. That's life in this fallen world. Yet the question is, how can you live your best life even in the midst of it all? How can you live your best life even in the midst of it all, even in the midst of a storm? So our opening passage will be the Gospel of Mark, looking at the 14th chapter. Sorry, Matthew, thank you. The 14th chapter. And here Jesus is walking through the area and performing miracles. And in particular, this is a time where the people have followed Jesus in order to be taught by him and really to be healed by him. And Jesus, it's late, the disciples are saying, you know, send the people home so they can go into the town or neighboring cities and find food. And Jesus says, you know, they don't need to go away. We can feed them. And the disciples say, we only have just a little bit here. And Jesus says, well, tell the people to sit down in groups, and then he takes the food, he blesses it up to God, and he gives it to the disciples to distribute, and then everybody eats their full, and then they come back. They come back and collect the fragments. So they started off with not enough, and then they had more than enough, and the evidence of more than enough is that there were fragments left over that the disciples kept. And so we're entering the story where this has just happened. And this text might be familiar to you. So in Matthew chapter 14, beginning with verse 20 through verse 36, we'll find these words. So they all ate and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments that remained. Now those who had eaten were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. Immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, Jesus was there alone. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered Jesus and said, "Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water." So Jesus said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when Peter saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught Peter and said to Peter, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat came and worshiped Jesus, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." When they had crossed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret. And when the men of that place recognized Jesus, they sent out into all the surrounding region, brought to him all who were sick, and begged him that they might only touch the hem of his garment, and as many as touched it were made perfectly well. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you for the opportunity to gather in this place. God, we pray that when we leave here, we will leave here looking more like you, knowing more about you, and knowing more of who we are in you. Thank you so much for this opportunity. Anoint us from the top of our heads to the soles of our feet to receive your word. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. So we're talking about living your best life even in the midst of a storm. Jesus has a reputation of making the most compelling arguments to follow him. Jesus has a reputation of making the most compelling arguments to follow him. To give two examples, Jesus will speak to your purpose and say, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." He looked at the disciples and said, "You're doing good work, making good money, but that's temporary. I'll give you something eternal to do. Come be fishers of men." Jesus will also speak to your fulfillment. He said to the rich young ruler, "If you want to be perfect, go sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me." It's not that there was anything wrong with being rich, but the rich young ruler used his resources to purchase a lot of material things. That's why Jesus said sell it. If it was money, he could have just said give it away, but he had to sell what he had. And one thing we know is that the material things of this world will be destroyed, they can be stolen, they can rust. But Jesus said, "Sell what you have and you can have treasure in heaven." He said, "I'll give you something that'll be really fulfilling." Sometimes, I admit, it's difficult to follow Jesus. Sometimes it's difficult to follow Jesus, but sometimes it's rather easy. Choose Jesus to have life and to have it more abundantly. Sure, I can have life and more abundantly, no problem, let's go. Some of us today are here, meaning we are here where we are in life because we chose to follow Jesus, and we keep choosing to follow Jesus. How many of you can remember a time in life where you chose Jesus, and in doing so, you entered a new adventure? You chose Jesus, and you entered something new. You chose Jesus and you entered school. You chose Jesus and you entered work. You entered an internship. You moved to another city. You moved to another state. You moved to another country. You chose Jesus and you entered something. You chose Jesus and you focused your major in a different direction. You focused your career in a different direction. You chose Jesus and you focused your relationship in a different direction. You stepped out and followed Jesus, maybe beginning to feel more fulfilled, but have entered an unfamiliar territory of life. And that's what will happen when we follow Jesus. We'll enter something that is a little unfamiliar to life. If we go to the text, Matthew 14, looking at verses 20 through 22, in our text, the disciples are following Jesus. Jesus performs an astonishing yet needed miracle to feed the multitude who followed him. And Jesus engages disciples in the process of this miraculous provision. Jesus sends the disciples away in a boat, seemingly ahead of Jesus, to the other side, to their next destination. There could be many configurations in order to get to the next destination, in order to get to the next side. Why this particular path for Jesus to send them on ahead? And sometimes I've come to a place where I ask Jesus, you know, why am I going this route? You know, okay, you know, I know I'm supposed to be doing this, you know, but maybe why this major? I get to know, why this school? You know, sometimes I say, you know, there are many ways to make a living, Lord. You know, why this? Couldn't I do something else? So there are many ways to get an education. Isn't there a better way, an easier way, a different way to do it? And so the disciples are following Jesus, and he sends them on to the other side, and he sends them on this path. One thing that I accept, that I invite you to accept, is that Jesus is routinely trying to get the disciples to trust him. Jesus is routinely trying to get the disciples to build their faith in him actively. And Jesus does the same for you. And Jesus does the same for me. To trust the person, the purpose, and the power of Jesus. To trust the person of Jesus, his divine intent, and his divine agenda. To trust the purpose of Jesus, his divine calling, and to trust his power, his divine ability. Could it be that God is focused on building your faith in him? That even as you go through school, even as you go through your work, even as you go through your career, I know you're pursuing those things, but could it be that God is focused on building your faith in him? Faith that saves you. Faith that moves mountains. Faith that pleases God. Faith that saves you. By grace you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Faith that moves mountains because of your unbelief. For surely I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible to you. Faith that pleases God. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. God's agenda is not always your agenda. God's agenda is not always my agenda, not always our agenda. But when we embrace God's agenda, then life in it more abundantly can open up, and perhaps in ways you haven't imagined before. And it says in verses 23 through 24, when Jesus had sent the multitudes away, Jesus went up on a mountain by himself to pray. And now when evening came, he was alone there, but the boat was in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. And the Christian Standard Bible says, meanwhile, the boat was already some distance from land, battered by the waves, because the wind was against them. Here's the scene. Jesus is having a long time with God. Is away by himself and is in prayer. Meanwhile, the disciples are in their boat, the boat that Jesus put them in the middle of the sea, in the middle of a storm. The sea, they were halfway between their starting point and their destination. And I tell you that God is so strategic. If I had known early on about some trouble that I had experienced, I would have never taken the trip. Had I known, I would have chosen a different path forward. Sometimes you can get in a situation, if you had known it was going to turn out and start to be like this, you might have turned back. The disciples too. Well, how do I know that? Because several times the disciples made comments and made decisions in order to avoid the danger that Jesus led them into. Most notable was Jesus' crucifixion. For example, Peter lied and Peter cursed in order to dissociate with Jesus at all costs during the violent trial and crucifixion of Jesus. In our text, we see how following Christ's direction can get you way out ahead, can get you far along into the thick of things, can get you in the middle of the sea, but don't sweat. We do serve a mighty God. Too far in the journey to turn back, seemingly too far away from the destination to be unconcerned and be nonchalant with the present trouble. The disciples were in a storm. To a boat, it says the wind was contrary. To a boat, the wind can be nearly everything. To have the wind at your back is to make good progress in good time, to make progress faster than you otherwise would. Sometimes I've experienced that as favor. Things are easier than you expect them to be. Things work out a little bit faster than maybe you thought they would work out. To have the wind against you is to have a direct assault on your progress. How in the middle of a storm can you live your best life? How can you live your best life when the winds are contrary to your progress? When your friends who are supposed to propel you are against you? When your family hasn't helped you as much as you thought they would? When your professors and employers have interests that work against you? against you, when your body is not as healthy as you need it to be, when your environment is not as supportive as you hoped it would be, how in the middle of a storm can you live your best life, the life afforded to you in Jesus Christ? It says, now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. The Christian Standard Bible says, Jesus came to them walking on the sea very early in the morning. In the midst of this uphill battle, Jesus shows up on the horizon. Back home, we would say, he does not come when you want him. He may not come when you want him, but he'll be there right on time. In the text, there are a few things I want to pull out quickly, and then we'll close. While urgent, the wind is often not the main focus of our learning. While urgent, the wind is often not the main focus of our learning. But listen here to what is the main focus. Jesus is present. Jesus is present. Can you see him? Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus is present by the way of God's Holy Spirit. Jesus is present by the way of God's people. Jesus is present by the way of God's holy word. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. The main focus is that Jesus is present. Can you see him? But also Jesus is available. Can you come to him? In the midst of this storm, Jesus responds favorably to your desire to know him more. Jesus answers Peter, come. Jesus says, come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take your yoke, take my yoke and learn from me, because I am lowly and humble in heart, and you will find rest in your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And Peter responds to Jesus' invitation to come. Peter stepped down out of the boat and he walked on water to Jesus. But Peter got distracted. Peter got distracted and did not keep the main thing the main thing. The wind was not the main focus of Peter and the disciples learning. Jesus was the main focus. But in this life of following Jesus, the wind, though it can be contrary, is not our main focus. Your friends who deserted you are not your main focus. Your professor who doesn't empathize with you is not your main focus. Your employer who wants more from you is not your main focus. The midterms that won't let you rest are not your main focus. Your papers that won't write themselves are not your main focus. But Jesus is your focus. And when you keep your eye and mind on Jesus, you see that not only is Jesus present, not only is Jesus available, but you'll see that Jesus is sufficient. Yes, he is. Jesus is sufficient. Will you trust him enough to keep your eyes on him? Scripture says Peter was walking on the water in verse 30. That Peter was walking on the water to Jesus, but then turned his attention to the wind. The Christian Standard Bible says, but when Peter saw the strength of the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. And look what Jesus did when Peter began to sink and cry out. But when Peter saw the strength of the wind, he was afraid and began to sink. He cried out, Lord, save me. Thankfully, Jesus is faithful and gracious, making up the difference between where we are and where we could be, between us walking on water in the midst of our storm and us sinking because we are afraid of the wind. Jesus reached for and grabbed out to Peter. Has God ever caught you? You started off well, and then you began to sink. And Jesus caught you in the nick of time. Have you ever started down a path, going in a direction, and you were strong in your faith? You were strong in your disciplines? You were strong perhaps even in your relationships, but then some kind of way you started to stray off. You started to doubt perhaps. You started to fear perhaps. You started to go a way that you knew you should not go. But Jesus caught you in the nick of time. Has God caught you today? 2 Corinthians 12:9, and he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I would rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon you. To live your best life in the midst of the storms of life, focus upon God and learn that Jesus is present, that Jesus is available, and that Jesus is sufficient. And I just want to pause here and ask you, which attribute of Jesus do you want God to help you to learn more fully? So just pause and take a moment, and which attribute of Jesus do you want God to help you to learn more fully? You want to use the paper with you to write yourself a note, or to write a prayer request and share with me, feel free. There are also index cards on the back. But which attribute of Jesus do you want God to help you to learn more fully? Thank you. last several verses. Ask myself this question, you know, why did Jesus take his disciples through all of that? Why does God, when you are following him, take you through all that you have experienced? The good times and the challenging times. God is sovereign. There are things that don't need to happen or have to happen. But why does he bring you through all of these things? You know, my 2 days ago, sister called me. My great uncle was in the hospital, and she called to let me know that they found pancreatic cancer was advanced. So they moved in the hospice. The mother called me yesterday to say that the doctor said 2 to 4 weeks or something like that for him to live. And they were great. Some years ago, 5 years ago, 6 years ago, passed away from pancreatic cancer. They're not blood related, you know, it could be genetic or something of that nature. But, you know, I asked the question, like, God, why this way? You know, couldn't there be another route to this? And couldn't there be another set of outcomes? Why are you resolving the situation in this? You know, I don't be like Elijah. I want you to take me up in the chariot. Why can't you take them up in the chariot? Make it a little bit more glorious. You know, why does it have to be this type of transition? I'm going to finish with verses 34 through 36. I recognize of chapter 14 of Matthew. I recognize that when we are reading scripture, that I can read a passage or I can read some verses, but it serves me well to read what's before and what's after. And so we saw the disciples experience this miracle with Jesus of them feeding 5,000 men plus women and children. And then they are traveling and they get into this storm. And it says, beginning in verse 34, when they had crossed over, so they're in the boat, when they had crossed over to the land of Gennesaret, and when the men of that place recognized Jesus, those men sent out into all that surrounding region and brought to Jesus all who were sick and begged Jesus that they might only touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched it were made perfectly well. The answer to the question, why does God, when you are following him, take you through all that you have experienced? I think the answer for you is saying, with the disciples, that God is not finished with you. There's more that he wants to show you, and more he will do. Philippians 1:6, be confident of his very faith, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Another translation, I am sure of this, that he who started a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ. As the disciples are experiencing what they're experiencing, going through the storms and the ups and downs, it's building their knowledge of who God is and who Jesus is. And he is creating for them a spiritual muscle memory of what he can do. And the reason it becomes significant is because when Jesus dies on the cross and he raises from the dead, and then he ascends to the right hand of the Father, where he is seated now at the right hand of Jesus, making intercession for us. He left the disciples and all of us to continue the work of the kingdom, to spread the gospel. He could have done it, but he wanted to include us to do it. And this same Peter, who cursed out folks when they tried to say that he was with Jesus, the same Peter who cut off a soldier's ear when they were trying to come and arrest Jesus, the same Peter who denied Jesus 3 times was the same Peter who preached the first sermon under the power of the Holy Spirit, and thousands came to Christ because of the sermons he preached, and God went through them. He drew from not only the Holy Spirit giving him utterance, But he drew from the Holy Spirit, bringing up these memories of who God is. And God will do the same for you. When he takes you to your next destination, you don't go empty-handed, but you go with the boldness of knowing who God has been to you. I used to be concerned with what other people believed and having conversation about faith. But as God started to do things for me, I realized that people can't convince me of who God has been to me. I may not know a lot of things about a lot of things, but I know how God has turned my life around. I know how he's healed me. I know how he saved me and rescued me from my own stupid things. And the same will be for you. The blind man, when they tried to ask the blind man about Jesus, he said, whether Jesus is the same or not, I do not know. But once I was blind, now I see. To live your best life in the midst of the storms of life, focus upon God and learn that Jesus is present, Jesus is available, and Jesus is sufficient. And if you are falling right now, God is available. And God is willing. And God is reaching out to catch you. He can restore your hope. He can restore your joy. And he can restore your peace in him. Let us pray. Our God, we thank you so much. God, I thank you because you are not finished with us. With your son, with your daughter, you're not finished with them. Your hand is upon them. And God, I pray that you will do for them what you've done for me. That you will redeem all of life experiences and make them work out for their good and to your glory as they follow you. God, give them that unshakable faith that allows them to know who you are, that allows them to know that you are ever present, never leaving them nor forsaking them, that will allow them to know that you are available and willing, that you are not a God who is preoccupied with something. If I'm on the phone and I want to speak to somebody else, I gotta pause my person and talk to them. That's not you. You are a sovereign God. You are all places at the same time. You are all knowledgeable. God, help them to know that you are sufficient, that your grace is sufficient. I am not good in and of myself, and I have relied and I continue to rely on your grace. Help them to know the depths of your grace. God, do for them all that you purpose to do. Do for your people all that you purpose to do. And help us to walk boldly with you. And when we're not so bold, help us to still keep our eye on you. And God, show us who you are. Do what only you can do. Get yourself glory out of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.